This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Give me your thoughts on Bregman real quick before we drill down on some of those Breslow comments. Are you a thumbs up? Are you a thumbs down? Are you believing in the Red Sox? How do you feel about the move?
I'm a thumbs up, but I'm not a two thumbs up. I'm a one thumb up. I like the contract. I think it's super smart. I like the way that Breslow played it. I like that ownership is actually paying for this guy, even though he has the two outs. And it seems like increasingly like that was a big part of executing this contract down the stretch. But I do feel like the entire market is kind of doing backflips like they just landed Shohei Ohtani.
The market meaning Boston.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
And
yeah.
I think that just tells you how desperate the fan base and even the media are to have something relevant, have something to get juiced up about.
We are real thirsty.
So
yeah.
I'm happy for everybody that way. But I do look at it and go, everybody's acting like he's the most perfect fit that the Red Sox have landed, when really they're just excited that they signed somebody for the first time, a free agent that's meaningful since David Price.
Dark and Stormy Nights in the Twitch chat says, facts, Mego. It's sad,
thank
really.
You. Thank you. And no, I don't want to be a hater. I just feel that I was surprised, for example, to read in the Globe, Shaughnessy declaring that the Red Sox were mostly back.
Yeah,
I was people are really, they've really been wandering in the desert.
I won't go there. And Chris asked me this in the crossover earlier. What would it take for me to really believe the Red Sox are quote unquote back? Not to winning games, because I think they're going to be good on the field this year. And a playoff, they should absolutely be a playoff team. They might win the division. If you're winning the division, you're a contender for the World Series in my book. We can quibble with that if you want. But really back to the way they used to act, that you can't sign a guy the day before spring training starts and pretend like you wanted him all along and you would do whatever it took to get. Like, the Red Sox used to do whatever it took to get guys. They risk losing him to the Tigers.
Now whatever it takes means you have to give him two outs in the contract.
He can leave after a year. Whatever it takes means he can bolt, and I don't think he will.
You're basically giving him like a month-to-month lease.
Yeah, so I don't think they're back in that way, but they need a move like this, Mego. And you can even see the pictures from spring training and juxtapose it with some of the images you were sending me last night from the NBA All-Star game, like an empty arena.
That was yikes.
I mean, think of Truck Day just a few weeks ago. Truck Day was pathetic, and that's a pathetic event anyway, but they used to actually get pathetic people to show up to it.
I remember even 6 or 7 years ago when the conversation would be, from a media perspective, oh man, who's going to cover Truck Day
right
after Super Bowl?
Right.
What a crazy turnaround, man, with the spoils of riches.
I think I read, so at least pathetic people used to show up. Now those pathetic people are like, that's even beneath me. They don't even go to it anymore. I thought I read, again, from a media standpoint, I think there were 7 outlets covering spring training. Like, the beginning of spring training, there were only 7 outlets down there.
I think that sounds like a lot.
It's like two TV stations, a couple of newspapers, some websites, that's it. 7 credentialed media members, or 7 outlets anyway, at Red Sox spring training. That used to be, I don't even, 10, 20, 50? Like, I don't even know how many it used to be.
We need to know what's happening at Twin Peaks.
So,
how is the service suffering?
So,
is Bradfo single-handedly supporting that restaurant?
He might be, if he can figure out how to get his sunglasses on.
Jeez.
I I think this is a good move for buzz, and that's a selfish thing. Like, in talk radio, we want people interested, and we want buzz, and we want interest, which is why the Four Nations is so great, and it exceeded my expectations. The Red Sox need something like this. So I'm not going to make a sweeping generalization that they're back and John Henry cares about his team again and they're going to start spending money. Brad Foe reported yesterday, the turning point for the Red Sox when it came to securing Bregman was they finally agreed to the opt-outs early last week. Finally. So that means it had been out there and they weren't going to do it, and they finally bent the knee and said, okay, Alex, we'll give you your opt-outs. But like, they went all the way into February haggling over that when they could have done this. The implication from Brad Foe is they could have done this weeks ago, months ago. If they finally caved, that means they hadn't been doing it for a long period of time. So, yeah, it's hard for me to go too far with it, but I think they're going to be pretty good. You think it's crazy to say they can win the division?
I don't think it's crazy, but I still think it's a challenge when you look at the division. I'll ask, with that information from Brad Foe about Alex Bregman wanting the opt-outs, does it make you feel differently about Alex Bregman as a member of the Red Sox, that he's basically saying that he thinks he's going to be so good, and he probably will have great numbers because of what his history shows of how he produces in Fenway Park, that he's like, I wouldn't mind, you know, opting out and going back to the open market and getting my money while I'm in my early 30s rather than maybe having a longer term contract settled in with the Red Sox?
Maybe. My read on it would be he needed something. Like, it's just he thought he was going to get...
It's just a leverage play?
Yeah, I mean, he just... You want to leave your negotiations feeling like you got something, and...
I've never left a negotiation.
I haven't had a great experience with that either. I'm saying, ideally, you want to leave feeling like you're getting something.
The powerful people do.
Right. And so he thought he was going to get $200 million on the open market, probably, and he thought he was going to get a long-term secured deal. And when it became clear he wasn't, you got to feel like you're getting something out of it. So my guess is between he and probably more so Boris, they wanted this for that reason. But yeah, maybe he opts out after 1 year. I think that's a good problem to have. I'm not as worried about that. But I think he felt like he needed to win something in the negotiation, because you got to save face somehow. And taking a 3-year deal for $120 million when you thought you were going to get 6-7 years for $200+ million. You got to try to save face. That might be more Boris than anybody else trying to save face.
Yeah, I guess I it could be Boris trying to save face. I do think that it lends a little bit to the idea of him betting on himself to be able to go out, if he crushes this season, to go out and at least use that as leverage for a renegotiation or who knows, go out into the open market.
Speaking of Boris, he did have these comments as well, and they're interesting. He said there was a bit of a change and a bit of an onus to really return back to winning. Boris said about the Red Sox and John Henry, probably a conversation I had with John where he expressed the sincerity and more of a passion of saying, we're missing something here that should be here, that has been here.
Players.
Something that's been lost.
Wins.
And we have a strong intention to return to it. So that's nice to say. I'll believe it when he actually backs. I mean, they're spending less money on Bregman than they did on Trevor Story.
Right.
And Trevor Story, I thought, was kind of a fake contract. The Rafael Devers thing, I think they were backed into. I'll give them credit for spending that money, but I don't think that represented any real sort of shift or getting back to your roots. If this does, great. I'll be happy to be wrong about it, but I think it's too early to call that one.
I think what is encouraging to me is that this seems to at least be a little bit of making good on the idea that they've been selling fans on for the last 5 years, which is once the young core comes up, once the farm system moves up to the majors, then they're going to spend in free agency. And they're going to do what they did the last time around when they had Betts and Devers and Bogarts and basically fill out with free agents around them. And I feel like they're doing more of that than they have in the past couple of years. It's just the past couple of years, it was that the market was so bad that they were playing. So I like, overall, again, I'm one thumb up. I'm not two thumbs up. I'm not doing backflips like everybody else, because I just don't have high confidence in what they've done for the last several years.
Can't we have nice things?
Yeah, seriously, Mego. Can't we just have nice things like our anthem? But when it comes to the Red Sox, you think, well, the Orioles are worse. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
No Corbin Burns. No Santander. Yankees, I think, are worse without Soto. I mean, they did spend some money on pitching this offseason. Maybe they'll win that way. I don't know. I think the division's kind of there for the taking. And it doesn't mean the Red Sox will take it, but I think they can win this division. Again, if you're winning the AL East, I think you have a real shot at making a World Series, perhaps winning a World Series. You know, you're a contender. If you're winning your division, this quality of a division, I think you're a real contender, which is part of why I am excited about it. I like Bregman all along. You know, I was hoping they'd really be in on Soto. They weren't. Nothing they did with Bregman changes that. I was hoping they'd be in. They weren't. So I'm excited that they're going to be a good team. I might like the Bregman fit more than most.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm still annoyed he's not, well, he's working out today at third base, so maybe I'm wrong about this. I'm still annoyed they're talking about him like he's going to play second base.
Jones,
like that still bothers me.
I'm so annoyed by it. Why is this a conversation? It clearly has to be a conversation because they're trying to keep Devers happy, right? They're trying to keep Devers at third and not DH him. And I think it doesn't make any sense to me. When you look at these guys' stats defensively, you don't even have to look at the stats. You just have to watch and know that Bregman is so much better there. And it was a little alarming to me to hear Cora in the introductory press conference talking about all the different places that Bregman could play. I was like, I don't know. How about you play him at the place where he's like a Golden Glove fielder? And if you look at, so it's kind of a nerdy stat, but I was looking at it last night. If you look at defensive runs saved above average, Devers last year is -9. Bregman is 6. It's a 15-run difference.
Plus is good.
Yes.
Plus is good, minus is bad.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, and the year before, Devers, -9. Bregman, 5. 14-point difference. The year before that, Devers, -6. Bregman, -4. I mean, not a great year for Bregman there. But the last 2 years, at least, you can look at and say, one of these guys is a lot better at this position than the other.
Yeah, and so, look, I think, and I don't even mind the defensive run save stat. You can call us nerds in there, Joe, but I don't even mind that stat. But here's a simpler one. He won a Gold Glove, and Devers has led the American League in errors every year he's played third base. I know that's an old-fashioned stat, but he's led the league in errors
every year he's played third base. That's a pink hat stat. Right,
fine.
There.
It's a real stat, though. You can think it's a pink hat stat. It's a real stat. So I wouldn't play him at third base. So I'll present an alternate theory. It might be to keep Devers happy because he wants to play third, which I would lean on him and sell him and say, look, this is going to make the team better, number one. And number two, it could actually make you better at the plate. by just focusing on hitting. Like, I would try to push him in that direction.
Go be Ortiz.
Yeah, right. If he's really the guy who's holding it up. My alternate theory would be John Henry's not going to pay a DH $300 million. And so to get what he feels is value out of a contract he probably never wanted to sign in the first place, he wants him at third base. And so maybe it's something like that. If it's not just Devers dug in, maybe the owner looks at it and says, no. This guy, I'm already paying a DH who might not even play on this team, Yoshida, $18 million a year. I'm not going to pay this guy $30-plus million a year to just hit. Get your ass out to third base.
But that would be a real problem because Henry not understanding how business is done at this point, where you have to eat those contracts. And it would further demonstrate like why they've been out of touch with the market over the last several years. And we hear callers and fans say, well, you wouldn't want to pay that guy for 9 years anyway. Like, of course you don't. But that's the way that the contracts work.
So this to me is an issue. I would play Bregman at third. You would play Bregman at third. I will allow for an alternate universe where Bregman, if he can handle it and if he wants to do it, moves around. Some second base, some third base. You have flexibilities against righties and lefties. Like, Cora is pretty good at that button pushing. I'll roll out a different lineup here. I'll roll out a different lineup there. A guy's scuffling. I can lean on Bregman at third. If Devers is really going and you want Yoshida's bat in the lineup because for some reason you need that, well, then Bregman can play second. Like, I'd allow for some of that versatility, especially when you have a guy in Duran who can play left or center. Rafaela can play all over the diamond. More versatility with Bregman is not necessarily a bad thing if you want to think outside the box. And that's before you even get to the young kids like Christian Campbell. Where is he going to fit on the diamond? So Cotillo wrote about this over the weekend with Sean McAdam at Mass Live. He said the presumption throughout the week is that Bregman, a third baseman throughout his career in Houston, would move to second with Devers entrenched at the hot corner, the original hot corner. That, however, is no sure thing. According to a source to Mass Live, the uncertainty is real and mainly a byproduct of the team's enthusiasm for top prospect Christian Campbell and an organizational willingness at this early stage of camp to give him a pathway to making the opening day roster. Cotillo continues, under this scenario, Bregman would see action at both second and third, with Devers shifting to designated hitter. If healthy, incumbent DH Masataka Yoshida, who I still think is ticketed to leave this team, if it's not in the offseason before the year gets going early in the season. I made the analogy to Shea Hillenbrand back in 2003. It was a piece that didn't fit. And so, just like Hillenbrand left, Yoshida would have to go. He has not yet started his recovery from offseason labrum surgery, by the way, which I was unaware of. This speaks to the lack of buzz and lack of interest in the Red Sox. I didn't know the guy's not even throwing a baseball yet. So he couldn't play left field if you wanted him out there. You would then see some action with Yoshida in the outfield, or he'd be in jeopardy of losing his spot altogether, more likely. Campbell's push for the roster could put the status of Seydon Rafaela, the presumed starter in center field, into question. Campbell is also a candidate to see action in left field, blah, 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 blah. Duran could move to center field. So it sounds like they are not settled yet on their plan. Cora said some of this in the past couple of days as well, where we haven't settled on a position yet. The more you're reading, I'm hoping they're more open-minded to this and not just placating people like us bitching about it. They're actually going to give it a real look of Bregman at third as opposed to second. But that's some of the latest reporting. They're more open-minded than just, he's our second baseman, that's where he's playing.
It's definitely a better position to be in than where you've been the last several years, where you're plugging holes instead of saying, we got too many guys who play this position or that position. I guess last year you had a lot of guys who had to DH. But it's a better position to be in. I just don't think that, maybe it sounds naive, the contract should not be a part of it. If you have somebody who's better at the position or someone who's young and going to be better by the middle to end of the season, that guy should play. He should play that position that he's best at. If there's not a place for Yoshida and he's injured right now, then there's not a place for Yoshida. And that's tough. Whatever. That was Heim Bloom's guy. Yeah. Like, you move on. I'm sorry. Like, close the book. I think that that's such an obvious way to go about the business. I don't understand why it would have to be so complicated.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Nino in East Boston. Hello, Nino.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. I just want to talk about, if you heard what Cora said, he says Bregman's going to, he can play second, short, and third. He also said that we wanted to upgrade our defense and our offense. There's no way that Bregman is not going to play third base. That's my opinion.
Okay.
They need a quick defensive third baseman. And
so what do you
go to first?
Okay, but Nino. So Nino, what do you think the holdup is? Because it's they are saying. Last we heard from Cora when he was asked specifically about Devers, he said he's our third baseman. So what's the holdup?
The holdup is, I believe, and I know Mego's not going to like this. They don't want to fluff up Devers. They don't want to get him aggravated at this point. It's going to be gradual.
Okay, so it'll be a gradual move over the course of the year. If by like June, Bregman's at third, they start with Bregman at second base, they got to sort out some of their roster. I'll call it logjam. Keith took issue with me phrasing it that way because that implies they have a lot of good players all over the place. Yoshida, not really that great. But they have a lot of guys that they want to try to get into their lineup potentially or odd pieces. So if it starts out that Bregman's your opening day second baseman and he's at third base by
June,
I'm
going to be annoyed.
I'll be annoyed in the meantime, but ultimately I'll say, okay, this is what we wanted all along. No real harm, no foul. You should have done it right away, but oh well, he's out there. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no harm, no foul until there's that 15-run difference. Well, you're losing games.
I think but that does bring up the other downside. So you're right. There is a foul, which is you make Devers look even worse. And you almost like bully Devers into moving off the position. You embarrass him to the point where he has to move off the position.
Well, and the other side of it is I think there's a group of fans. I think there's a part of the fan base that has grown frustrated with Devers because he doesn't have the natural leadership space in the clubhouse that you'd think a guy who's making that much money might grow into. That's just not him. That's just not his personality. And then Bregman comes in. And what's the thing that everybody's been saying about Bregman since he signed? Oh, he's got championship pedigree. Like, never mind what was happening during those championships. But he's got championship pedigree, and he's coming
in. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Mego.
He's going to be such a leader. Oh, the culture that he's going to bring in. He's going to talk to the media every day. And I do wonder if a part of all the underlying stuff is the idea that Bregman's going to come in, own the clubhouse, be the face of the franchise, where Raffy just never grew into that, even after he got that contract and the other two stars left the market.
I think there's some of that going on, and I do think Bregman checks a lot of those boxes. I think the Red Sox have desperately needed it, and now at least they're not going to ask too much out of Devers, because they were asking too much out of Devers. He was never going to be that guy.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.